Well, technology has really improved since the 1990s when it was first launched. One of the specific things about this mission that is different than the other missions is that they have to perform some spacewalk repair on instruments that were never meant to be repaired in space. Some failures that have occurred, they have to actually develop tools to actually take the plates off the front of these boxes and get into some very, it's like getting into your computer and pulling out circuit boards. The only problem is about 111 screws on one of the boxes that they have to remove. So they had to do it so that the astronauts can do it with these fixed gloves on and not have to worry about little teeny screws. And so on the show, you meet the people that actually train the astronauts and how they design it and the tool that's going to be used.
Well, you know, just the first question is, how do you get the screw from, you know, floating away in space?
Well, they designed a plate. It's called a fastener capture plate that actually goes over the front of one of the boxes. And then it mounts onto that box. It's got a Lexan cover. It's got a plastic cover on it. And you actually stick the drill bit through the Lexan cover.
Wow.
And let the screw float out. When it comes out, it floats in a little captured area on the plate between the plate and the fastener cover that goes over it. So they float around inside there. You don't take that plate off. The whole plate comes with you. And the replacement plate is just snaps on, much easier than drilling back in 111 screws.
Boy, I wish I had that when I cleaned my grill the last time. I never find all the screws when I'm done.
But that's the level of detail that any mission of this nature requires. I mean, the fact that they are replacing parts that are the size of a bus, I'm hearing, is that accurate?
Well, the Hubble itself is the size of a bus.
Okay.
And you can imagine what it would actually fit in the payload bay of the shuttle. The box, a lot of them are phone booth size. The Advanced Camera for Surveys, incredible instrument, that's on there. There's a Whitefield Planetary Camera. It's a new camera that's going on that goes into a portion of the Hubble that gives these really fine detailed pictures that we see. So a lot of stuff's about the size of a phone booth, pretty much.
And, Commander, of course, we know what size the Hubble is, and the shuttle itself is as big as an airliner. How close do they come together in space?
We'll come up
how much space does the
pretty close. We'll come up within 35 feet of each other, and that with the reach of the arm, Megan MacArthur will actually grapple the Hubble and place it on a fixture on the very back of the payload bay of the shuttle. It's a flight support system where they actually put it in there. It's like you call it like a lazy Susan. It allows to tilt and turn the Hubble so the astronauts can actually have access to it.
And so they're flying then at the same rate of speed, so that all has to be calculated before the shuttle can actually make that maneuver, I assume.
Right, the rendezvous. And one of the things you'll see on the show is actually how do they simulate that? How do they perform the maneuvers to get to a place, you know, below the shuttle where Megan can actually grapple or actually grab the telescope? It's a really unique dome. It's called the Shuttle Engineering Simulator down in Houston, Texas. And it projects a 3D image, not a 3D, but an image above the actual aft flight deck of the space shuttle. And they can make failures, and the crew goes through a whole series of failures they could encounter during rendezvous and still be successful.
Now, these astronauts, these repair people, will be in space suits, and they'll be outside in between, you know, near the Hubble and outside of the shuttle. What do they feel when they're in space?
Well, when you train for this, you train in a pool, and it's underwater down in Houston, Texas. I take you on the pool deck. I show you the suits. And then, but the problem is you still have gravity. You float neutrally buoyant in the water, but gravity still pulls you down in the suit. In space, there is no gravity. You know, gravity's keeping the shuttle in its orbit, but you don't feel it. You're essentially weightless because you're in this constant free fall around the Earth. And it's different because the water restricts your movements. In space, there's no water to do that. So it's really easy to start moving, and it's hard to stop. Where when you've trained, it's kind of hard to start, and it's very easy to stop. So a little bit of a learning curve, but it's the best training we have.
We're talking this morning to Commander John Harrington, former NASA astronaut. He's featured in the National Geographic special Inside Hubble's Final Mission, which airs Thursday, 9 p.m. on the National Geographic channel. Now, I'm looking at the Hubble, and it looks like a cylinder. Is there a platform on there for the astronauts to stand on, or do they make one?
Well, they actually have a platform they'll put on the end of the robotic arm. Megan, it's another responsibility during the mission, is that the astronauts will climb onto a foot restraint. It's called a portable foot restraint that mounts onto the end of the arm. And it's essentially, imagine putting this pair of ski boots into something where you have to stay in one spot. To move these big, huge payloads, these big, huge instruments around, you have to have something that you can stay in one spot and then hold onto this very massive object to move it around. The other astronaut will free float. That means they'll hang on with a handrail, or they'll clip their hardware onto handrail. I'll actually show you what type of hardware they'll use in the show to actually do that. So you don't stand right directly on the Hubble. You have support equipment around it.
You know, there's got to be a point at which you say, okay, I am on a trapeze that really doesn't have a bottom. You know, in your brain, how do you process that, or you don't think about it?
Well, you just, you know, you do your work. You get so focused on what you have to do because you have such a very limited time to do it. Most spacewalks, about 6.5, maybe 7 hours, and you have so much stuff cram-packed into that little timeline that you have to concentrate on. Occasionally, you have to stop and smell the roses. You look over the side of the space station, over the edge of the shuttle, and look it down, and you see the Earth go by, and you just go, wow, what a remarkable spot to be doing some neat work.
Yeah, and so you're there in space for 6 or 7 hours. I mean, do you get hungry in that amount of time, thirsty, and what happens if the call of nature happens?
Eat before you go. You have to actually eat a good meal before you go because you cannot eat anything in the suit. You have the helmet on. There is actually a bag of water that mounts inside of the suit. It has a little bite valve, and you can drink on that. It's about 32 ounces of water. But if you're working really hard and really strenuous, it's like if you're going for a really fast or long run, you'll drink that water down pretty quick, so you just have to pace yourself. And you get back in, you wear a diaper in space. If you want to use it, it's all up to you.
Wow. Well, now we know everything about floating
in
space.
No, I'm afraid we don't. We probably only scratched the surface. But you can see more inside the Hubble's final mission Thursday night, 9 o'clock on the National Geographic Channel. I'm sure that's just a fascinating inside look with someone who's been there. Because, Commander, you have actually flown in space. What was your mission?
I went on STS-113, Space Transportation System 113, Space Shuttle Endeavour. Went to the space station and did 3 spacewalks to install a large truss on the front of the space station. Actually, my test pilot training was down at Patuxent River, Maryland, so I'm a former Navy pilot, so I know the whole Washington, D.C., Maryland area really well. And my brother lives there, too.
And now you're in Oklahoma.
Yep.
Well, hats off to you, and hi to your brother, and we thank you so much for joining us this morning, Commander. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Great. Thanks a lot. Enjoyed it, too.
All right.